Good morning. Great to be back with you again. Good to be just about anywhere these days, but good to see you all. We're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4 and starting at verse 17. I've been working through the book of Ephesians this year, and this is the passage I've come to today. And I think it would be good to get a quick overview of the book in order to fit this passage into it. It's, first of all, a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Christians, believers in Christ, who were of Gentile background. And I think most of us here today, if not all, are probably of Gentile background. So it seems suitable for us as well. And it's only six chapters, and it has two parts to it. First three chapters and the second three. First three chapters are all about the greatness and glory of God. Fantastic truths, especially if you want to stand in awe of our great God and Savior. And then the last three have to do with our believing response to that God, how as believers we should live in response to it. And when I came to chapter 4, well, as you launch into it, the very first thing he emphasizes is unity. I was thinking of something else that I might emphasize if I were writing it, but he emphasizes unity, endeavoring to keep the unity, and he speaks of one Spirit, one Lord, one Father, and God is one, so truly one that he can't be divided up into parts, and yet he eternally exists as three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, neither of which can be confused with the others. And that's the kind of unity that he's speaking of. And of course, he's writing it to the church. It's the body of Christ. He only has one body. And you only have one body, physically speaking. But your body's made up of many parts, isn't it? And I'm sure there's not a part of your body that you'd like to chop off and get rid of. You want all the parts together as one, and they work together as one. And so he emphasizes unity, and then following that, he emphasizes individuality. And he speaks of God giving gifts to man. And every believer in Christ has at least one spiritual gift, and it is those gifts by which we are able to function in that one body. You know, in my body, my foot doesn't look anything at all like my eyeball, and it can't see a thing, but then my eyeball can't walk me somewhere either, you know. Every individual part has its own unique function, but it functions together as part of the one body, and that's what he's coming at. When he speaks of gifts, they're wonderful. He speaks of giving grace. And then he speaks of the greatest gift of all, the gift of Christ to us. And then he speaks of giving the gifts of spiritual, well, we call them spiritual gifts, the abilities that we have. And then finally, he says, actually in verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets. What he's saying there is he's taking gifted men, those who have gifted prophecies, let's say, and the others, and he gave the men as gifts to the church. So if you're here today as a believer, you have a spiritual gift, and you are one of God's gifts to this local church. That's wonderful, isn't it? And the whole point of it comes back to unity again in verse 13, and we get this whole concept of the church. Now, this morning we start a new section, so to speak, and he says, "This I say therefore," verse 17, "this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." And here he's reminding us as believers, we not only have spiritual gifts, we're not only new creatures in Christ, but we still have our old flesh with us. And you remember, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and the two are contrary one to the other. We fight spiritual battles every minute of every day, don't we? And, you know, there's not a power on earth greater than the power of the Spirit of God within us. Our flesh can't hold a candle to it. It's just that sometimes I don't believe that, and I yield to my flesh. You ever do that? I'm sure you do. Emphasizing here that in the body of Christ, it's made up of former sinners. We're not sinners anymore. Our sin is paid and put away. The old man has died in Christ. A new man is born. But we still have these things that we struggle with. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not a believer, this may not make any sense to you. But I'd ask you to be kind to me and patient, and maybe there'll be something for you in this. Because, we just read, he says, we're not supposed to walk as Gentiles. We're not Gentiles anymore. We're Christians. We're supposed to walk as believers and not in the vanity of their mind. That may sound offensive if you're not a believer, and the following statements even more so, but you need to know he's not speaking about you morally, if that's the right way of saying it, but spiritually. In Christ, we're made alive unto God, alive with eternal life, and